I want to share a little bit about why, as a church, we are all in when it comes to seeking justice and reconciliation with and alongside Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. So on Wednesday night, heaps of us gathered at Warriwood Community Centre with around 20 other churches from the Northern Beaches and schools and other organisations for the inaugural reconciliation service, which was just felt like such a significant night. It was a beautiful time of prayer and sharing culture and story and listening and just building relationships with one another. And I know that for many in our church, reconciliation and justice are already deeply important for you. But I also know that some people, particularly if you're new or exploring our church, may still wonder why we place such an emphasis on this as a church. Why does H3O continue to invest time and energy and relationship into reconciliation with our First Nations peoples? And I want to say clearly for us that this does not come from trying to be culturally relevant or politically fashionable. It actually comes from our understanding of the gospel and our discipleship to Jesus and the kingdom of God. And at H3O, we believe that pursuing justice is just a core part of following Jesus. Again and again throughout scripture, we see that justice sits close to the heart of God. In Micah 6:8, which is a verse that was read out at our service the other evening, the prophet says, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." So justice here is not presented as a niche add-on for Christians or an optional extra. It's part of what God requires of his people. And then in Isaiah chapter 58, God confronts the people of Israel who maintain religious activity while neglecting justice and the oppressed and the poor. And he says to them, "Is not this the kind of fasting that I've chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free." And then Jesus begins his public ministry in Luke 4 by reading these words from Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free." Jesus consistently moves towards those who have been pushed to the margins, the poor, the excluded, the overlooked, the suffering, and the outsider. And so if we're serious about following Jesus, then we cannot separate our discipleship, our spirituality, from the pursuit of justice, mercy, reconciliation, and love of neighbor. Now, for us in Australia, one important expression of that calling is reconciliation with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. Because the gospel is not only about personal forgiveness between us and God, or personal forgiveness between me and another person. The gospel is a story of shalom, of reconciliation on a big scale. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, "God reconciled to himself us through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." And again, Paul, speaking in Ephesians 2, and he's talking here about two groups that have been divided by hostility and injustice, the Jewish people and the Gentiles. And Paul says of Jesus, "For he himself is our peace, and his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace." I mean, we could keep going, but the movement of the gospel is always towards reconciliation, towards healing, towards restored relationship. And so as followers of Jesus, living in Australia, in this particular place, on these particular lands, with our particular history, we believe part of neighbor love and what we've been talking about the last few weeks, kingdom witness, involves taking reconciliation seriously here in this place, in our context. And it's important to say that the injustice we're talking about is not only historical. There can be, and you hear this in Australia, this temptation to say, well, that was in the past, or shouldn't we move on? But that assumes that the impacts of injustice are finished, that the injustices of colonization are something back far in history. But the reality is that many Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities continue to experience profound injustice and inequality and disadvantage today. Recently, there was a report, the annual report on the Closing the Gap data, and it continued to show deeply troubling outcomes in areas like incarceration, health, child removal, life expectancy, education. In many of those areas, progress towards closing the gap had either stalled or even gone backwards. And alongside those realities, and we've seen this in really stark ways, particularly if you think back to Anzac Day and what happened with the booing of Pastor Ray Minikin, we see many Aboriginal Christian leaders continuing to speak about the pain of racism and exclusion and a sense of invisibility in contemporary Australia. So for us, reconciliation is not just driven by guilt, and it's not virtue signaling or performative. It's quite simply about love of neighbour. It's about truth. It's about relationship. It's about taking seriously the call of Jesus to move towards people in love rather than away from them. Over the years at H3O, we've intentionally tried to pursue that posture through friendship and listening, deep listening, and relationship with Aboriginal Christian leaders, particularly through our friendship with Brooke, who is with you guys tonight. As some of you would know, that what we have with Brooke, we call an affirmation of friendship. And I love that language because it captures something really important. This is not transactional, it's relational. And as Brooke often reminds us, reconciliation is friendship. That's a key part of what that word means. And so we continue to invest as a church in those relationships because we believe discipleship requires proximity and depth of relationship and really knowing each other. It requires humility to learn and listen. It requires allowing ourselves to be shaped by the stories and the experiences of other people. And honestly, I know that sometimes that gets pretty uncomfortable. And reconciliation often does feel uncomfortable. But throughout the Gospels, Jesus consistently leads people beyond their comfort zones towards sacrificial love. Think about that story Brooke shared the other night about the Good Samaritan crossing the road, spending his own money and time and effort to come and help and restore someone who is from the opposite tribe to him. I also know that this whole conversation can become heavily politicized. People quickly place reconciliation into categories like progressive or left or right, but the kingdom of God does not fit neatly into our political tribes and our kind of culture war languages. We need to move past that. Jesus constantly refused simplistic binaries. He invited people into a different way, a better way, a kingdom ethic that was shaped by truth, justice, mercy, humility, love. And as Christians, our primary question is not, does this belong to my political persuasion or tribe? Our primary question is, what does faithfulness to Jesus look like here for this issue? So at H3O, we want to be the kind of church that doesn't see this as something separate to the gospel, but very much a part of what it means to follow Jesus and embody his gospel. So enjoy today. I hope you found that helpful.